God, you guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Dan Schwartzman.
OMG.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh.
And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Dan Schwartzman.
It is hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman for Rich here on Black Friday. Shop, shop till you drop. Enjoy those great TV deals. Did you wait outside of your local Walmart or big box store, waiting for those doors to open to run in, push people over, knock them down, punch them in the gut just to get that great TV deal? I cannot wait to watch the news tonight and see the absolute disaster going on around the country when it comes to shoppers. Like people camping outside of stores. My wife is really good at saying this one saying, all right? Tyler, this is what my wife always says. Time is money, right? Mm-hmm. And I get that. So, like, if you're going to camp out all night to get, like, $400 off a TV, is it really worth your time being outside in the cold, camping outside of a Best Buy to get $400 off a TV?
Are we still doing the TV deals, though, on Black Friday? Like, you get a TV, like, on Amazon for, like, $100. You know what I mean? Like,
You were right. I actually went about 3 weeks ago. I had to have my windshield changed. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I had to like do something for a couple hours. So there was like a Best Buy nearby. And mm-hmm. I went. You could buy like a 65-inch TV is now like $400.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You can buy an 85-inch TV for like $1,400.
Crazy.
And I have a 55-inch and I have a 65-inch. But like I get TV envy. I think that's a thing. Like, you look at other TVs and you're like, wow, right. That would look great on my wall or on my TV stand, right? Like, do you get that too? Am I the only one that has
well,
TV envy?
I think as sports guys too, like, I mean, what's better than having a huge TV to watch your favorite game on? Like, there's nothing, you know?
You're absolutely
so
right.
I'm a big fan of the big TV. I have a 55er in my place and I love it. And yeah, I'm like, okay, well, can I get a little bit bigger here? Can I get a little bit bigger?
Right, because a 55-inch is nothing right now.
No, that's standard. Right, that's like standard now.
It's standard, right. It's standard to the point where you can buy a 55-inch for like $279.
Right,
right? That's what's happened. Yeah. So, again, that brings up the whole point of like the TV envy. And I get serious TV envy. Like, I like my TV. It's fine. And I think if I had a bigger TV for the space I have, it probably wouldn't make sense. Like, it would be overkill. Like, you wouldn't actually see it very well. And I'm more of a movie. Look, I love sports, obviously, and I watch a lot of sports, but I'm more of a movie guy.
Okay.
Like, I love movies, and, you know, I stopped going to the theater for the most part because, you know, $20 for a movie is a little ridiculous at times, right? Like, am I paying $20 to go see a movie? Why? I could actually rent it on demand for cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that's what I do, but you want to have that nice big TV to do that because, well, why not, right? You want to have that movie experience, and the only difference is your beer is cheaper, your popcorn's cheaper, you can pause the movie when you want to go to the bathroom, it's your own bathroom, there's no line, and it's clean. But to have that movie theater experience, you kind of have to have that bigger screen. Like, oh, I want to watch Top Gun Maverick. Well, you have to watch it on the big screen. It looks amazing, you know?
Well, Dan, like you said, you're a big movie guy. Did you see Oppenheimer?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Because, like, that's the one I splurged and went to, like, the big, you know, IMAX theater. And, you know, I saw it on the certain projector or whatever. And I felt like that was worth it.
Yeah, my parents saw that as well. They went to the IMAX to see it. And
yeah.
I think they saw Top Gun Maverick, which surprised me. They're not the Top Gun type, but they went and watched Top Gun Maverick on the big screen. And I think for the flight scenes and things like that, you should see it on that rather than like a 55 or even 65-inch screen. But if you're talking about like an 85-inch screen, now you're talking, right? Like, now you're talking some serious hardware there.
Oh, yeah. 85.
I mean, come on, right? $1,400. Like, you start reaching for that credit card, like, I might do that. But then you got to sell it to the rest of the family.
But
like,
then you got to go sit in the parking lot for an hour, though, too. You know.
Well, that's true. But then you have to figure out how you're going to couch this to the wife as to why you bought an 85-inch TV,
and not to mention, you know, your fifth TV in the home. You know.
Right. I mean, that's exactly right.
Like, you have a TV in every room, right? You know, I do.
The question you always get is, do we really need that, honey? Do we really need that?
Right.
And I'm like, probably not, but it looks great. and it didn't cost an arm and a leg. Like right now, no joke, all right? I'm looking this up as we speak, Tyler. An 85-inch TV. Maybe I'll go to the store.
What do you got?
You buy like the non-name brand made in China for $750.
That's all you need.
You buy a Samsung 85-inch. I like Samsung. $898. I mean, come on. LG's. An LG 86-inch screen, $900.
I'm going to have to go hit up some places after the show.
I'm
getting
envious
right? just thinking about it.
Right? An 85-inch Samsung for less than $900.
Get set up for those big college games tomorrow. I'm in.
I mean, you might be watching. Leave right now. You might be watching Jets Dolphins on an 85-inch TV for less than $1,000.
Oh man, this isn't America.
I'm jealous.
Great. I know.
I'm not going to do it because I have self control.
Attaboy.
But I am considering it. But I can't sell this to my wife. There's no way.
There's always that aspect.
That's scary. Like, honestly, that's scary. Like, that's more fearful than anything is, like, how you actually sell that to the wife. Hey, hon, guess what? I didn't buy you anything for Black Friday, but I bought us an 86-inch
TV. Got us a great deal for the house, I'm telling you.
Great deal. Now, you know me. I don't like watching a lot of TV, but I just couldn't resist. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You're not going to get away with that. What's the biggest TV you can buy now anyway? Okay, there's an eight. Okay, put it this way. An 86-inch LG is, I told you, like $899,
yeah,
right?
$900, right.
You want to go to an 88-inch LG, which is like top of the line, apparently. Guess how much an 88-inch signature LG TV is?
If we're talking 900 for the other, maybe, let's say
$1,300?
$25,000. What?
Yeah.
Well, they have to get that technology figured out or something. I don't know. Is that a projector at that point, or is it a...
No, I don't know. It's a smart TV. Well, they actually give you a penny off, so they make it sound better. $24,999.99.
Huh.
Or just $1,041 a month for 24 months financing.
Of course you always finance it.
I mean, come on. That's a lot of money. And by the way, you get a 97-inch for cheaper. They have 97-inch TVs now.
That's
unbelievable.
Wild.
All right. We're going to the store, Tyler.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
All right.
Get some money. We're going to start. $24,000.
I'm going to hit up our boy Warren Buffett. We can play the credit card game.
Yeah, exactly.
From hour one.
Mine might not work, Warren, but yours will.
Right.
All right. I want to get to this real quick. The NBA season continues after an off day yesterday, and it's this in-season tournament group play. Can you explain this to me? I have no idea what's going on. Like, I have no idea what is going on with this. Like, why did the NBA need to add an NBA in-season tournament, and do people actually care? Like, you there as an NBA fan sitting at home, do you actually care that there's an NBA in-season tournament? I don't. It's a new annual competition, according to the NBA. All 30 teams are involved in this. There's a championship at the beginning of December, right? And there's a group play in the knockout round. But why is this occurring? Like, who honestly cares? I don't. I have no interest in an in-season NBA tournament, and I'm going to venture to guess this isn't going to last very long. There's a prize. Maybe it's a way to make more money for the players. You know what? Guess what? NBA players make more money than anybody else. A crappy NBA player today makes like $12 million a season, okay? That's $1 million a month to sit on a bench. I honestly don't understand this. What is the point of this? At some point, it's overkill. Are you trying to make your league more sexy? But this isn't it. This isn't it. Like, I'm not impressed by this. This does nothing for me. Now, the NBA kind of lost me regardless the last few years. I think the style of play in the NBA is a joke. Everybody's shooting three-pointers. When a seven-footer comes out of college or high school and he's preparing for an NBA draft, and the big story is this seven-foot, one-inch guy shot 38% from three-point land, that's a problem. Okay, it's 7'1", 7'2". You should be playing inside, not shooting three-pointers. Well, Victor Wembanyama can shoot three-pointers. I don't care. He's 7'4". Put him in the post like basketball, like tall basketball players should be. Never understood that. So the quality of the game today stinks, right? Every single time somebody drives a lane, whistle blows, foul, guy goes to the line. Every single time. It's as if officials are anticipating the contact and blowing the whistle, regardless of if there's actual contact or not. See, I was born in 1978. I remember 1980s basketball. I remember Michael Jordan out there on the court. I remember guys being tough on defense. You don't want to play the bad boys in the Pistons, right? They would knock you around, and they could get away with it. Today, oh my goodness, the guy put a hand on him. Oh, blow the whistle. How many times are you watching an NBA game and the flow of the game is completely ruined because some guy blows a whistle, right? It absolutely destroys me. It's very simple. The NBA thinks of all these fancy things to do, like an in-season tournament that frankly no one should care about, and they should get rid of this nonsense after this year and never bring it back. And what they should do is realize that fans are upset watching a league that stinks right now. Play the way it used to be played. Let defenses play defense. Don't call ticky-tack penalties. Why is playoff hockey so good? Because they don't call ticky-tack penalties in the playoffs, and they let guys play and be physical. That's why the NHL postseason's awesome. Much more than the regular season. If the NBA would just allow these guys to play and have less of a threshold in terms of what's a foul and what's not a foul, trust me, we as fans would enjoy it a hell of a lot more than watching a game where every single time a team has the ball offensively, there's the whistle, the guy goes to the line, clock is stopped, waste of our time. Oh, but we're going to make it sexy by putting an in-season tournament. Woo! You bore me with this nonsense. I'm not watching this nonsense. This isn't soccer, all right? Soccer's got in-season stuff. You have the international breaks, right? So players can play for their country, for World Cup qualifiers, the World Cup itself, Euro 2024 if you play, if you're European, CONCACAF, Americans play in that, the Tournament of Americas, the Nations League, things like that. Awesome. The Champions League is an amazing in-season tournament, maybe the best in-season tournament of any sport in the world. I love the Champions League, Europa League, things like that. Maybe the NBA is trying to emulate that. Guess what? Ain't working. It's not happening. Kurt Heelan's going to join us. He's with NBCSports.com, of course, covers the NBA. He'll join us in about 30 minutes. We'll get his take on this in-season tournament. He's a big basketball guy. He may be the one guy that actually loves this. But am I wrong, Tyler Brewer? Am I wrong that it's not in-season tournaments that'll make the NBA fun for people again? It's the fact of there's no more post-game, no one plays inside anymore, right? And every single time that somebody drives the lane, they blow the whistle and call a foul, which completely, completely kills the pace of play. Isn't that really the problem with this league?
I think so. I'm not a fan of this tournament. I don't even know what's going on. Like you said, I don't know what's going on and why. Like, there's no, like, you don't get a benefit. It's like you get a first-round bye in the playoffs. Like, so we're just trying to, you know, generate excitement out of just because, I don't know, because the courts are different, because, the jerseys are different, like... Seems a little gimmicky. Yeah, play some defense, man.
Let them play defense.
Well, let them, yeah, totally.
Yeah, let these guys play defense. Let them hand check again. Let them get a body in front of them. Like, honestly, it's like the NFL. See, the NFL is kind of heading in the direction the NBA went, which is let's call everything, right? Oh, my goodness, the quarterback went down. It must have been a late hit. Oh, he was too vicious. He put his body weight on the quarterback when he went
down. It's gone way too far.
Oh, a pass interference. This, I mean, come on. It has gone too far, and it's turning fans off. And the NFL should look at the NBA and realize that's not what the fans want to see. I mentioned playoff hockey. That's what the fans want to see. Less whistles. Less stoppage in play. Less ridiculous fouls that you look at and you say to yourself, come on, you can't call that. Unless it's blatant or completely hinders the guy's opportunity to score or whatever, don't blow the whistle unless it's something blatant. In the NFL, with pass interference, unless it's blatant, don't blow the whistle. Unless it's blatant that the guy has clearly taken a cheap shot on the quarterback or went for his knees, whatever it may be, if it's not blatant, don't blow the whistle. We're sick and tired of seeing that. Unbelievable. All right, I want to get into something here because I have gotten, I got a 13-year-old and she loves all these big top 40 music acts right now. And also, of course, buying sports tickets. It's frustrating when you go out to buy tickets, you wait there, you start clicking, you get in a queue, you get on a waiting list. In the end, you don't actually get tickets, definitely not good tickets, when it comes to shows or, of course, sporting events. Now, you don't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time, the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat as well, and their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Now, what are some of the things you like about the Game Time app experience? Well, I'll tell you what. You like the last-minute tickets, the flash deals, the zone deals. It's easy to find buy tickets for every kind of event in your area. Seats in all venues, great views as well, and the lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, which is awesome when the economy's tanking. You may have bought the tickets. You might need the money later. You are protected. So see the view from your seat before you buy it so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in price tickets, show your total up front. You know you're getting a great deal before you check out. None of those hidden fees. Buy tickets in seconds with just two taps. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts. It's a place to find last-minute seats and deals. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets, football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and much, much more. Zone deals. You pick the section. Game Time picks the seats for big-time savings, and the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, they're going to credit you 110% of the difference. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit gametime.co, that's C-O, for terms. Again, create an account, redeem code R-I-C-H, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Visit gametime.co, that's C-O. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Dan Schwartzman, we're going to break down these college football matchups tomorrow. Michigan, Ohio State, who do I think is going to win? That's next. It is, of course, the Rich Eisen Show on Black Friday. Still turkey hangovers for some of you, of course. Some of you just plain flat out hangovers. Dan Schwartzman back after this on the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, folks, let's talk about Game Time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big-time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time-consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit gametime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
And welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Dan Schwartzman, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. All right, in about 20 minutes, Kurt Heelan joins us. He's, of course, lead NBA writer for NBC Sports. We'll find out his thoughts on this NBA in-season tournament and what truly the league has to do to make the product better. I told you what they have to do. It's very, very simple. Again, literally. Stop ticky-tack fouls and actually play an inside brand of basketball rather than everybody shooting three-pointers. I blame Steph Curry. As great as Steph Curry is, Steph Curry has helped to ruin the game of basketball. Because of Steph Curry and three-point shooting from well beyond the arc, it has ruined the game of basketball. It has. I know the youngsters love it, but people my age and probably a little younger, even a little younger, definitely older, do not like this style of basketball. It's not our cup of tea. It's not good. It's not fun. It's not something we like to watch. And that's exactly how you fix the sport. All right. Rivalry Saturday in college football. Ohio State, Michigan, always an incredible rivalry. When you think of the greatest rivalries in all of sports, to me, they're all collegiate, right? NFL rivalries, to me, kind of come and go. A lot of the NFC East rivalries are kind of fun. Cowboys, Commanders, Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, geographically only separated by 90 miles. Okay, that's kind of fun. That works. But on the other side of it, okay, the other side of it is the college games, college basketball, North Carolina, Duke, awesome game, right? That's always a great one. Two blue bloods, amazing. And college football, the Iron Bowl, especially when Alabama is usually always good. And if Auburn's good as well, and I think they'll obviously be better with Hugh Freeze over the next few years, that'll be good to get that rivalry back to where it needs to be. Army-Navy is classic. I love Army-Navy. I believe it's the only collegiate football game where both entire student bodies are in attendance. I believe that's true. Oklahoma, Texas. So even though Ryan Day is 11-0 right now, if he loses to Ohio, if he loses to Michigan, there is potential that as great as his record has been, unless he still can win a national championship despite having a loss to Michigan this year on the resume, he potentially could be let go. I don't think it happens because I think it's kind of crazy to let go of somebody who has been so widely successful, who's averaging literally 11 wins a year. If it wasn't for the shortened 2020 COVID year, he would be winning even more games. But you don't survive three straight years losing to the rival. For Jim Harbaugh, he's won the last two after going years without being able to beat Ohio State, and that's added to him staying there. Now, I think he does wear out his welcome again, and potentially that's going to happen this year. Now, with all the scandals surrounding him and the stealing the signs and all that, potentially that's going to harm him. But overall, he continues beating Ohio State and does so again this year. First of all, if he does, they finish the season undefeated because they're going to win the Big Ten championship because the Big Ten West stinks. All the powers in the East, right? When you have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State all on the same side of the conference, the other side has nothing. Nebraska's garbage. All those types of teams are garbage, right? So Ryan Day's got a lot riding on this one tomorrow. And this one's in Ann Arbor. This one is in Ann Arbor, which means they're not favored to win, right? Because they're going to be on the road. It's a very tough situation for him to be in because, again, you don't expect a guy to be on a hot seat when he's been that successful. But when it's a different story and people realize that you can't beat that one team, that's why I talked about Penn State and should James Franklin be on a hot seat because of the fact he can't beat either one of those two teams, it's a different story. So Michigan is the favorite. They are, what, a 3.5-point favorite, I believe it is right now? About right. I think it's hard to argue against that. It's going to be about defense. Both schools have had great quarterback play from McCord and from McCarthy. They both could run the ball, Henderson and Corum. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a problem for any defense. He is potentially the best player in college football.
Michigan favored by 3.5.
It is 3.5. Okay, good, good. I wonder if that number is going to move. Man. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, Tyler, because I'm cheap, but if I was a betting man, Michigan 3.5?
You like it? They're running the ball really strong right now.
Yeah. Ah, boy. 3.5 sounds kind of big.
You think they're going to beat them 3 years in a row?
Honestly, I'm not a big Ryan Day guy. I got to be honest with you. I don't think he's that great. Mm-hmm. He's a tremendous recruiter. He really is a tremendous recruiter. But the fact that they've won 11 games so far isn't a surprise, right? Look at the schedule they've played. They, you know, I don't think Notre Dame's that good. And they beat Notre Dame by 3.
Yep.
Penn State's okay. They're not bad. And they played, by the way, at the Horseshoe. So, okay, that was a home game for Ohio State. And they won that by 8. Besides that, they've beaten Indiana, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky, Maryland, Purdue, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Michigan State, and Minnesota. You know, they should be 11-0. They're Ohio State. This is the true test right here. Michigan is the true test on the road. But they need the win. But I'm saying is I don't think whoever wins this game, I don't think Ohio State, if they lose by more than 1 or 2 points. I think this is literally a down-to-the-wire, you know, 1 or 2 point game.
Well, and also,
I think 3.5 may be a little much.
And then do you think the loser, as long as it's not a blowout, do they still have a chance for the college football playoff?
That's where I kind of hate the way that this is. Because if say Michigan
wins, Oregon,
wins
Washington,
Ohio,
too, is kind of de facto play-in game, too.
Right, but think about this, right? So say Ohio State, Michigan wins, Ohio State loses. Michigan will play Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, and they should win. But God forbid they lose, right? So Ohio State sits there at 11-1. Michigan will be 12-1, having the later loss to Iowa. Could listen, you could potentially have two Big Ten teams get in, right? I mean, think about it. You could that. Because let's play this scenario then, okay? Let's play this scenario. Okay. So Georgia wins the SEC. They're in. They get one of the four slots. What happens if Oregon beats Washington? Oregon is 11-1, right? Because Washington loses, they'll be 11. Well, here's the problem. Okay, so here's the issue, though, at hand. It'll be a respect issue, right, for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may have Washington at one loss, Oregon at one loss. You could have Michigan and Ohio State both at one losses. Do you take one, you know,
well,
do you take, like, I don't think you could take an Ohio State who doesn't even play in the conference championship game over three teams that do play in their conference championship games.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also, right? I think there's an argument to be made that the Pac-12 has been stronger than the Big Ten this year.
There's no question.
So why would a one-loss Big Ten team be better than a one-loss Pac-12 team? So
bias?
Like, yeah.
Right?
Like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, there's going to be a bias, right? And look, the Pac-12 shot themselves in the foot with this nonsense. Like, how good of a conference can it be if they aren't even going to be a conference after this year?
Right.
But you have Washington against Oregon, right? Arizona has had a quietly good year. Oregon State's quietly been good. But Washington and Oregon may cancel each other out. Because, again, one of them is going to lose in the conference championship game, right? And if they lose in the conference championship game, it's really bad. I mean, there's got to be a better system because, again, we could be looking at Michigan, Washington, and Oregon all having one loss, but those losses occurring, well, two of those losses, or at least all three teams being in their conference championship game, right? Because Oregon and Washington, one team's got to win, one has to lose. Mm-hmm. If Oregon wins, Washington gets saddled with a loss. If Michigan goes into the championship game with a win over Ohio State, but they lose to Iowa, they have one loss, but at least they made it to the conference championship game.
Right.
Unlikely, right. But who knows?
I mean, so is the 8-team playoff the fix for this? You know what I mean? It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm in favor of expanding it anyway.
I think since this discussion, it's got to be because it's like there's too many teams that deserve a chance that are going to be boxed out.
Yeah, there is. You're absolutely right. There's too many good teams in this year. Some years it does end up working itself out, right? Some years it does end up working itself out where you're like, you know what? Those are clearly the four best teams. This year you can't say that. There's no way you can look at this year and say there's clearly four, you know, these are the four best teams, clearly. I don't think you can say that, and that I think is going to be the issue here. So very, very interesting scenario potentially going to happen over the next 2 weeks of the college football season with conference championship games coming up soon, determining who, in fact, are the four best teams. All right, NBA in-season tournament action. What's the problem with the league? And is there really a bias from one official against Chris Paul? Lead NBA writer at NBC Sports, Kurt Heelan, is going to join us next as we'll be wrapping up another edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Dan Schwartzman, filling in for Rich here on Good, well, not Good Friday. It is, I mean, not a Good Friday, Black Friday. Deals, 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 my friend, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Final segment of the Rich Eisen Show on this Black Friday. Dan Schwartzman in the big boy seat, filling in for Rich. Awesome time as always. A lot of NFL talk, college football conversation as well. Rivalry Saturday is upon us tomorrow. And the NBA in-season tournament action today. Yippee! And there's the Chris Paul situation. Does one official actually have it out for him, as he says? Apparently, when that official is in charge of his games, he's like 3-17. I don't know. We're going to find out more. A good buddy of mine, haven't talked to him in a while, the lead NBA writer at NBC Sports, Kurt Heelan, joins us. And by the way, Kurt had a much better Thanksgiving than Jared Goff as well. Kurt, long time no speak. Happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
I think most of us had a better Thanksgiving than Goff, didn't we?
I did, too. I made a duck, and it turned out amazing.
Oh, did you?
I don't know. Turkey, I'm sick of turkey.
Yeah. My brother cooks, so we had turkey and ham and kind of the traditional stuff, but I'm with you. I've become more about the sides as I get older. I think it's just, I'm not into the turkey as much.
Let me ask you something, Kurt. You said your brother cooks. What do you offer the Thanksgiving dinner? What is, besides your presence, what do you offer?
Okay. Well, obviously my charming personality and crap.
Of course.
Like that. A couple bottles of wine, but we also brought the appetizers. So I'd made deviled eggs. I'd made a little zucchini pesto quiche things that are little appetizers we do. So I did.
Okay,
we did bring.
Now, Kurt, you said I made the deviled eggs. You did?
No, I do most of the cooking in my house. Yeah. With some of this, everybody pitched in, but like in that case, I'm more the chef and they're more the sous. So.
Well, it sounds like a very successful Thanksgiving for you. Now, you got to help me out of here, Kurt. Listen, I'm okay with the NBA. They've kind of lost me over the years with the style of play. What the heck is this in-season tournament nonsense? Are you a fan of this? I can't get into it. What's going on?
I'll have to admit, I was on the skeptical side coming into this, but the games have been pretty engaging. And maybe it's just our reptilian brain flipping by going, ooh, different court. This must be important. I hate to think it's that simple, but maybe that's part of it. But the games have been a little more physical, a little more engaging. And it's interesting because my reaction in general was, yeah, the guys who just, it's $500,000 to the winning team. I'm like, if you're one of the guys who can actually decide an NBA game, if you're, you know, the LeBron Jameses and Steph Currys of the world, is that moving you? And I'll just say we said that to a star player. I'm not going to, it was off the record, so I'm not going to name a name. A star player, there was a couple of us talking, and the, his reaction was, dude, that's $500,000. Fair point. Like, it's still a lot of money. And they get, and if you make that Final Four, you go to Vegas. The players seem open to it and into it. And since it's part of the regular season, everybody's kind of taking it. So I got to say, I've been more into it than I expected, but I'm still not sure if it's going to, like you said, you're not that, like, you're not catching on. A lot of my friends are, like, I'm getting more like, what the heck is this questions than people kind of buying in yet.
Now, was this done, Kurt, to fix the league, to get fans reinvigorated? Was that the reasoning behind this?
Yeah. Well, come on, Dan. The reason was money. We're in the middle of, they're in the middle of negotiating a new television deal, rights deal, and like, hey, if we can pump up, this is the slow time of year. As you discussed on your show, as you know, like, you guys are talking NFL and college football right now, and upcoming bowl games. NBA, most fans are not really focused on the NBA. This was an attempt to maybe get something that they could sell. Hey, it's the NBA in-season tournament exclusively on Amazon Prime or, you know, whatever. But also something that they bumps up a little interest in their slow part of the season because nobody else is, you know, the old adage of not paying attention until Christmas has some truth to it for fans. So that's really the goal, is something that gets more people watching and makes more money, and they conveniently decided to do this right as they were negotiating a new TV deal.
Lead NBA writer at NBC Sports, Kurt Helin, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Black Friday. Here's my fix for this league, all right? Tell me if this is correct. I think it's very simple, and they're trying to overcomplicate things. Less foul calling, none of this ticky-tack nonsense. Let these guys play a little bit. If it's a blatant foul, call it. If it's a little hand-checky, don't call it. And two, let guys play inside. I don't need to see a 7'4" guy shooting three-pointers. I enjoyed watching actual centers play center. Fix those two, the league wins me back. Kurt, am I crazy? Is that all it takes?
I think the first part would be interesting. I would love to see, it's like you, when you watch, and you, we'll all do it next summer during the Olympics, when you watch international basketball, when you watch FIBA basketball, and they just let more go. I mean, they let guys be more physical. I think that would bring back something to the NBA. I think the pendulum may, in the effort to get offenses and allow Steph Curry to cook on the perimeter and right, things, you know, Damian Lillard and guys we'd like to see. But I think that it's gone so far, like you said, that it's maybe a little too far. I would love to see a little more physicality in the game. And if you allow a little more physicality, and they do inside, frankly, like it's more on the perimeter, then you would, I think, get more of those inside games. But I got to tell you, 7'4" guys shooting threes, or in Chet's case, Chet Holmgren's case, with he's only 7'1". but those guys kind of stepping out and shooting threes, man, that floor spacing thing is just going to be the way of the NBA now. Like, you're just, the only bigs who are going to score inside are the truly elite Embiid, Jokic kind of guys, the old school post up guys. Just it's just not efficient enough play now in today's NBA.
You mentioned Jokic, and I love watching him play because I'm watching this guy with a dad bod, doesn't seem very athletic, and I'm watching going, wait a minute, how is he up to 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 13 assists? And then I realize he's probably the greatest big man passer we've ever seen. You know, when we watch this guy play, all right, it's not sexy. Let's get that out of the way. But am I watching an all-time great? Am I watching a guy when it's all said and done, we're going to say, you know what? This guy's up there as a potential top 10, top 15 player of all time.
Very possibly. Let's put it this way. I think when he's done, we're talking about him in the top five center conversation with, you know, assuming he can win another championship and keep this up over a course of you know, 5 years or so.
Right.
Like, we're going to mention him with Hakeem and maybe not Shaq. I don't, you know, where you want to go with where you put what big men on what tiers, but he's at least in the conversation with Wilt. He's got to be in this conversation because he just does everything so well on offense. It's so much fun to watch, and it's so effortless. And he's just, it's not just the skill set, although it's his touch and is all that. It's just, That's high IQ basketball. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to watch guys know that if they move off of him, if I cut, I'm going to get the ball. I'm going to get opportunities. So suddenly, everybody on the floor is flying around because of the energy that brings. So, yeah, he's going to go down as, I think, honestly, one of the great centers to ever play the game. And frankly, not just one of the – we're not going to just say the best passing big man of all time. I think he's going to go down as one of the great passers the game has ever seen, flat out.
No, I agree with you. It's incredible when you watch him. Like, you never know where he's going with the ball, where his eyes are. He's as smart a player as we've probably ever seen. I want to talk about another smart player, Chris Paul, another Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Got into it with Scott Foster, the official, to where Paul came out and said, this is personal. Your thoughts on that whole situation? Is he overblowing it, or is there a point?
No, there's not. There is clearly a thing there. It's clearly personal. He actually, this is the first time he said, I guess back when he was with the Clippers, there was a meeting with Scott Foster and him and Doc Rivers and people from the league and whatever, trying to smooth out whatever is, you know, whatever this animus is. But there's a lot of Scott Foster stepping over. I don't think this is like a two-way thing to me. Like, both of them are kind of stepping over the line. Both of them just go into this expecting things to be bad, so they are bad. I think a whole lot of listeners probably had that yesterday at Thanksgiving with their families. Like, you know it's going to be bad, and then, like, stuff just triggers it, right? And so I think there's that, but I don't – Dan, we're just at the point, and I get why the NBA doesn't want to do this. If it admits that Scott Foster can't cover – just Scott Foster does no more Chris Paul games, then they're admitting he can't be unbiased. And the league isn't about to do that by a guy who's considered one of their top rated officials, whatever fans think of him. He's highly regarded by the people who, you know, Monty McCutcheon and the people who judge these things. They can't go there. They kind of have to go there, don't they? Like, this has just gotten so nasty and so personal and become such a thing that I think that has to be the exception to this rule. Like, they should not be on the same court together, because it does show up in the numbers. Like, Chris Paul not only got tossed, but, I mean, the playoff record of games he's done with and without Scott Foster is stark.
The Boston Celtics 12-3. That's an NBA best record of 12-3. They're a game better than Minnesota, that's played one less. The Celtics, the best team in the league right now?
Yes. Yeah, they are. Denver will be back too close to setting the bar. They're without Jamal Murray right now. They kind of got, I think, 4-4 without him, and that's, they're just not the same team without him there. But to me, I wasn't sure that this Kristaps Porzingis, I'm like, boy, is that really going to fly? You're giving up some culture there with getting rid of Marcus Smart. But their rim protection with this, you kind of forget, Porzingis is 7'3", can block some shots, man. Like, their rim protection has been good with him, and their offense, while still a bit clunky at points, like, they're still kind of figuring it out. Jaylen Brown hasn't completely found his rhythm. The spacing is they're going to figure it out better, and they're already good on that end. The spacing is incredible because Porzingis just pops out, and same with Horford. Like, you've got to respect those guys outside, and just opens up driving lanes. So right now, I think they're the best team in the NBA. I think they're the bar, and frankly, after watching Milwaukee so far, I'm not sure Milwaukee can catch them. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but we could be in Boston come June for the finals.
All right, real quick here. We have about a minute to go. Kurt, give me a team that's not right now at the top with 11 or 10 wins, but a team that you're looking at that's kind of lurking, that you think, if things go their way, could end up being somewhat scary as the season goes along.
Off the top of my head, I'll tell you who I love to watch and I think could be better if they get their defense rolling. I love Indiana. Indiana Pacers are so much fun to watch. They're playing fast. Tyrese Haliburton is having a breakout season. The problem right now is they're, like, best offense in the league by a long shot. Last year's Sacramento Kings. Defense is awful. Offense is great. Entertaining as heck to watch. Look like a playoff team in the East. And if the defense comes around a little bit around Miles Turner and Bruce Brown, then they become a tough out.
Yeah, that's a good one. Indiana Pacers. All right, our buddy Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer at NBC Sports. Kurt, happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Take care of yourself, Dan. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Awesome stuff. Kurt Heelan, always the best. read his stuff on NBCSports.com. I guess if you're a big NBA guy, the in-season tournament has its perks to watch, kind of understand it. But I think the average fan who's what they're probably trying to relate to doesn't care. But he made the point. They're in the midst of contract negotiations for the next TV deal. More basketball means more games, which means more money, which means more revenue. And the NBA's raking in the loot to where players are signing contracts for $60 million a year. $60 million a year. No joke. Giannis is making like 60. Jalen Brown's making like $60 million a year. Incredible money when you think about how much is being thrown around in this league. All right, we are out of time. It's been a lot of fun. 10 minutes for depression for me when kickoff occurs. Jets and Dolphins on Black Friday. I want to thank Jason Cole, Matt Fortuna, and Kurt Heelan for taking the time today to join us on the show. Tyler Brewer, great job producing it. Matt Higdon, awesome job engineering this show. It's fun as always. I'm Dan Schwartzman. Again, happy Thanksgiving. It's fun filling in for Rich here on The Rich Eisen Show. Take care.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azerrad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.